All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Keeling's Corner. Hope everyone had a nice holiday season, a Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year, or whatever you celebrate. So, it's been 2 weeks, right? 2 weeks? Yeah, it's been 2 weeks since the last time me and Mike were here. Mikey's not with us again today, but I do have Mike Cohen with us. So, Mike, how you doing?
Not bad. You're doing well, man. Happy holidays.
Yeah, how was your holiday season? It was good?
It was good, man. It was good to, you know, get away from this place for a couple of days and
relax.
Now we're back, getting ready for playoff football.
I can't wait, to be honest with you. I mean, if you would have told me 5 weeks ago, I would have told you that I was ecstatic. Yeah. Okay, I was ecstatic 5 weeks ago, looking forward to playoff football. Now I'm just excited. It's a little bittersweet.
Yeah.
All right, the Steelers lost four in a row heading into, you know, they went from having a home game against the Chargers to then going to Houston and then falling apart. I don't know what that game was on this past Saturday night against the Bengals. I don't know what was going through Russell Wilson's head.
Or George Pickens' head, for that matter, because he was dropping passes.
George Pickens was dropping passes. Russell Wilson forgot, you know, how to manage a clock and basically how to play football. I'm hearing a lot of rumors that, you know, the Steelers might want to move on from Mike Tomlin this offseason. You know, after they lose on Saturday, you know, it'll be a decade since they won a playoff game.
Yeah.
I get the standard is the standard, but...
I'll say this: if Mike Tomlin gets out of Pittsburgh, kind of like Andy Reid, like 10 years ago when he got fired by Philadelphia, he was unemployed for about 5 minutes. And that's what's gonna happen with Tomlin.
I don't even think Tomlin would be unemployed. I think if Tomlin got moved, it would be in a trade.
You think so?
Absolutely. I mean, the Steelers would never fire him.
They would never fire him.
They could probably get a first round pick for him. The Bears are a team that's looking to, you know, create a culture. And, you know, to set, like, a foundation for going forward into the future, they have their quarterback. I'm not sure. I think they have first-round picks this year.
I believe they do.
Okay, so.
I believe they do, yeah.
Boom. I would even take a second-round pick. But if you can get a first-round pick from Mike Tomlin, I mean.
You know, there's only two teams that I think would be interested right now. One of them is, you just mentioned, Chicago. The other one's Las Vegas. I mean, look what's going on. Brady's going to Belichick. Now, this is what's funny about it. Of course, we all know Belichick, you know, is under contract at UNC, but that doesn't stop Tom Brady from going over there and saying, "So, Bill, do you really want to coach a bunch of college kids? Do you really want to do that? You want to come to Las Vegas and have some fun?"
Exactly. I'm not really too sure he wants to deal with that. I was a little surprised to find out that he took the job.
I know.
You know, to begin with, but yeah, I mean, I could see Bill Belichick saying no to UNC now at this point, where you know the negotiations were. He signed the contract, but he has, you know, easy outs. They said so he can get rid of that contract that he has at UNC and. You can coach the Raiders.
Here's a wild one for you. Let's say the Raiders trade for Mike Tomlin. Which would be weird to see Pittsburgh Raiders trade begin with.
Yes.
Based on the history. Let's just play it out. Let's say that Tomlin goes to Las Vegas to take over there. Wouldn't that like give an impetus for like Belichick to say, you know, maybe I could go to Pittsburgh? Or even Mike McCarthy, who apparently was a big grew up in Pittsburgh, would, you know, just like leave Dallas, go to the Steelers. I mean, think about that for a second. That'd be crazy.
See, that would be pretty nuts. And I could see a scenario where that might happen, and that would be completely nuts. But the thing is that I'm not sure Mike Tomlin is to blame for the lack of playoff success. I think it's the personnel that they're putting around Mike Tomlin.
It's fair.
Like, you got to give him a quarterback. Coaches. I mean, you got to give him a quarterback. So you could go 10-7, right? Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season, okay?
Never.
Great statistic, okay? You can absolutely survive, you know, beating the bottom feeders with a great game plan and a solid defense and having game-winning drives like they did with Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph for 2 years, okay? So you could absolutely, you know, do that. But when you get to the playoffs, you're playing Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. You know, you're playing the top echelon quarterbacks, and you're never in a game. Granted, I will say, the Steelers down 28-0 to Baker Mayfield and the Browns. They lost to Blake Bortles back in 2017.
Right.
So it's like, come on, what's going on here? Is the game plan, like, the offense wasn't the issue because they didn't wind up scoring over 30 points, and in Jaguars' case, 40 points in those playoff games. Mm-hmm. So it's like, Tomlin, you're a defensive-minded coach. Get it together. Seriously, get it. Like, if the Steelers come out this Saturday and get blown out, I really don't know. I'm going to rip my head off.
Well, think about the players that... Think about the time last time the Steelers last won a playoff game. And think about the number of players, Hall of Fame players, they've lost over the years since. You know, all those great defensive players, James Ferrier, gone. Troy Polamalu, gone, retired.
James Harrison, gone.
Harrison, gone, retired.
Lamar Woodley, gone.
Woodley, gone. Hines Ward on the offensive side of the ball, gone,
retired. Ike Taylor, gone.
Okay.
Ben. Even Big Ben,
gone. The boss, Jerome Bettis, gone.
Antonio Brown,
even him.
Le'Veon Bell. He was part of those teams that won playoff games.
Rashard Mendenhall. All these guys they had to go through there, gone.
So Mike Wallace.
Mike Wallace.
He's another one.
Yeah. I mean, they've lost so many. They've lost so many great players over the last decade that they're a shell of what they once were.
And they don't go out and replace them. Like the Steelers had.
It was like pulling teeth to get them to get a receiver this year.
And they still didn't. And for some reason, Van Jefferson plays more snaps than Mike Williams and George Pickens. And it's like, why? Like I sit there and it really does baffle me. Like why? First off, Arthur Smith, you gotta go. Please, I hope the Jets take them. Like I really do hope the Jets take them because the Steelers need a legitimate guy who's gonna push the ball down the field. They need to go get a receiver this offseason. They need to hire a guy like Bienemy from who used to be in Kansas City. Okay, they need to hire Cliff Kingsbury. They need to hire one of those guys that is gonna push the ball down the field. A McVay type minded. You know, offensive coordinator, or otherwise you're never going to be able to win another Super Bowl because you're going against Mahomes and Jackson and Allen. It really is frustrating to see Scotty Miller and Van Jefferson on the field with Russell Wilson, who can't move at this point in his career. It's just frustrating as a fan.
Okay, so let's say if the Steelers do move on from Mike Tomlin, I know I threw Belichick and McCarthy at you, but let's just be realistic. Let's just say they did move on from him. Of all these young, bright young offensive minds, who would you want? Like Ben Johnson, who's playing on Jacksonville?
Wouldn't come from the outside.
No. Wouldn't come from the outside.
Nope, they would promote from within because that's what they always do. What,
promote Arthur Smith, the head coach.
Let's say they both move. Let's say Smith goes and Tomlin goes. Right. I don't know who it would be, but the Steelers love to promote from within.
Right.
That's how Matt Canada got his job as offensive coordinator. He was the quarterback's coach, and then he got elevated. You know,
Tomlin was in D.C. in Tampa when he first got.
Yeah, but that was a long time.
Yeah,
I'm just talking about I just feel like the Steelers aren't going to go out there and they're not going to make that big splash. Steelers are going to go out and they're going to bring in a guy who's more conservative, like they did with Arthur Smith and Matt Canada. I don't know. Maybe, I really don't know, maybe Cliff Kingsbury. Seriously. I mean, he's having a great year as an OC.
Yeah.
So it's like, can you pry him away?
It's a safe move for him, too, because you're going to a team that never fires people.
Exactly. And you're going to a team that if you're good and you make the right play calls and you win games, those fans will defend you forever. Yep. Steeler fans are more loyal than any other fan base. Okay, they will defend Cliff Kingsbury if he performs for a very long time.
Now this conversation changes obviously if they go out there this week and find a way to win, and then everyone's looking at Baltimore saying, "What's going on here?"
Well, you know? I know Baltimore. Baltimore is a fraud team. They've always been a fraud team. I think Lamar Jackson's a fraud.
Yeah,
I don't think Lamar Jackson, when it comes to passing the football, is a good quarterback. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't think he has touch. You know, he's got a strong arm, but I don't think he can make those. Every now and then, you know, he'll fit a ball into a tight space. But it's not like, you know, he misses a lot of guys. You know, they lost week one against the Chiefs because that's just the first thing that pops in my mind because he missed two open receivers. And that last throw, yeah, it was great, but he had two wide open guys.
He's a guy that if you get not just necessarily pressure, but if you put, you know, your linebackers outside and you're able to, you know,
if you can contain him,
close that pocket. He starts to throw the ball erratically all over the ballpark. So in the AFC Championship game last year against Kansas City, and that's what happened. So
absolutely. Yeah. He's a great athlete, which is why he's so – I'm going to use my Mike Tomlin, how I said Mike Tomlin never has a losing season because he, you know,
same
dominates.
John Harbaugh, he never has a losing season either.
Yeah, they're always usually pretty good.
Yeah.
Right? But Lamar Jackson can look so good in the regular season, can put up such great numbers because the defense is, you know, they're not zoning in. Like when you have – when you're in a playoff game, okay, you're going up against the top teams in the league, okay? And when they have a full week or, you know, a week and a half, depending on who gets a bye or, you know, however it lines up, right? They have a full week or 2 weeks to prepare specifically for Lamar Jackson. It's a reason why he struggles because they're going up against top defensive units and he's not a great passer. So if you focus in on what he's flawed at and make him do that, you know, that's why adding Derrick Henry could be the saving grace for this team. Derrick Henry touched the ball on Saturday night at 8 o'clock 30 times.
He should,
30 times. That's why you brought him here.
Especially in the weather they're going to have this weekend, potentially snow.
Yeah, potentially. Which I don't know. Listen, a Steeler fan's worst nightmare is they lose 28-24 and it's a close game and Russell Wilson plays well.
Yeah,
that's a Steeler fan's worst nightmare.
Well,
Wilson because I'd rather get blown out.
You'd rather get blown
out. I'd rather lose 45-10 because then I know Russell Wilson's gone.
About 13-10, would you feel better with that? It's still a close loss, but your offense plays.
I think it has to be a blowout.
Has to be blown.
I think it has to be a blowout. Yeah. And a message needs to get sent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you cannot keep coming into a season with the offense looking the way it does.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I was the Steelers coach, everyone's going to think I'm nuts and, oh, you can't do this, you can't win a Super Bowl with this. I would start Justin Fields.
There's a sense out there. I saw something on X earlier that Arthur Smith indicated he would rather start Justin Fields. Now, that could be just someone posting on Twitter saying, hey, you know, let's just say this, but, you know.
Well, you're much more dynamic with Justin Fields because you could run the football. Russell Wilson, you see it. It's there in his mind. When Wilson wants to take off, it's there. Like, you could see that he wants to do it. His body doesn't physically let him do it anymore. You know, sometimes he'll break off for a 15-yard run, but, like, you could see when he's evading, you know, pass rushers, it's like he's in quicksand.
Yeah.
You know, Fields gives you that ability to, you know, move around outside of the pocket and potentially take off for a 40, 30-yard run. Listen, if I'm the Steelers, I'm starting Justin Fields. It's not going to happen, but I would start Justin Fields, and I would make a game plan of I'd run the option a lot, right? And I would let Fields take shots down the field.
Oh, I would at the very least get him into the game. You know, kind of like a Cordell Stewart slash type of role. I would do that if I were Pittsburgh. Try to get Baltimore, you know, off their game just a little bit. Well, but I'm sure they're expecting it.
Listen, Wilson could prove me wrong. I mean, yeah. He can because he did it early on in the season. Yeah. I mean, so he certainly can do it. I honestly feel bad for him because I don't feel like he has the receivers to do it.
Yeah.
I really don't. It's honestly the Steelers front office's fault for them being in the position that they're in right now because they had multiple chances to acquire a top receiver and they didn't do it. So that's on them.
Yeah.
But let's move on. Let's move out of Baltimore, unfortunately. Yeah. It should be Pittsburgh. But.
Well, again, let's quickly go over these wildcard games. I mean, you got the Chargers and the Texans. This is the one that everyone thinks the Chargers are going to go in there.
Yeah, the spread surprises me a lot. Yeah. I can't believe the Chargers are favorite.
Yeah. Everyone thinks the Chargers are going to walk in there and slap the Texans around. Now, Texans have been playing well for the last month, or a couple months for that matter. But I'll say this. I don't want to overlook C.J. Stroud in any situation, especially at home in a playoffs. But as far as the Chargers are concerned, I got to see them do it. But, you know, we know that Jim Harbaugh can coach a team into the playoffs and deep into the postseason. But have we seen Justin Herbert and this Charger team do it? We haven't. I got to see it to really believe it. And if they do take out the Texans, that's going to make a fascinating game against Kansas City next week if they end up going to that game. So we'll see. But I got to see it to believe it with the Chargers.
Well, they wouldn't necessarily go to Kansas City if Pittsburgh
depending,
won.
Yeah, Pittsburgh
if Pittsburgh
won,
right. wins. See, that's why it could be a blessing in disguise for the Steelers. I'd rather go to Kansas City than Buffalo.
True.
Right?
Closer so, game, better chance. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, you would figure that.
Plus, you get the Chiefs with basically two bye weeks in one game. Like, they have like 20 days off between one game.
Exactly. So they might be a little rusty. I personally would rather go to Kansas City than Buffalo. I could see a world where Buffalo upsets. I mean, where Buffalo gets upset by Denver. I do. I can't. I can see it. It's not like it's, you know, a warm weather team going into Buffalo.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, you have a Denver who's used to playing in the cold. Okay. Mm-hmm. They have, you know, a solid, I guess he's solid, head coach in Sean Payton. And you got a kid that's
Bo Nix,
very confident. Great. He's very confident. You know, he's got that, you know, thing about him.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a lot closer than people expect. And there was one more thing that I wanted to get about, actually, that I wanted to get at. The NFL needs to bring back two byes.
I agree.
They do. They need to bring back two byes. And it really is a shame that Minnesota has to go on the road now to LA after only losing, you know, three games.
Well, that's a conversation that's been as old as even the previous playoff format when they only had, you know, six teams in each conference. I mean, what do you do? I mean, you're going to punish you're going to punish the Rams for winning their division because they won less games than the Vikings.
No, I know. It really is. It sucks. It just sucks. I mean, there's no way around it, but it really does suck.
Yeah.
The fact that they have to go to LA. You know,
or Arizona, depending on the situation with the fire. Yeah.
That's going to be interesting on how sports gets affected. That's very interesting.
I mean, send you off track there, but they were talking about like moving that game to Phoenix because it's, you know, obviously so bad. The air quality is so bad over there. Like they had to like move practice indoors for the Rams.
Wow, that could throw a whole world spin into
it.
It
did. It really could.
Interesting. Real quick, I know we're talking about the games right now.
Yeah.
So I do want to get to this NFC game that I am predicting to be my upset of the week. I think that the Green Bay Packers are going to go into Philadelphia.
I knew you were going to say that.
I do. I believe it. I think Jalen Hurts not practicing, you know, at full is huge. Okay. I think that Green Bay has not had that many great wins this year. Okay, against good teams. But they play most of the games very close.
Yeah.
Okay, and I do think that we're going to see Jordan Love if he's healthy. Now, this is all on the premise that Jordan Love is going to play. I know he's got the elbow thing. They said he didn't have feeling in his arm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever. But if he plays, Green Bay is going to walk into Philadelphia and come out with a win.
I like where you're going with that. I mean, it's all depending upon whether Hurts plays or not.
Hurts and Love.
Yeah, both of them, really. But more so Hurts, because if he doesn't play at all, then, you know, it's going to, you would have to like the Packers' chances even more.
Well, if Hurts doesn't play, the Packers are winning. Kenny Pickett is not leading them.
No.
Is not leading. I mean, listen, if he does, good for him. But I personally don't think he's going to.
The Eagles would have to have a huge day from Saquon Barkley, regardless, one way or the other. I mean, he needs to have, like you know, 250 yards rushing in this game. Just complete domination from Saquon for the Eagles to win.
They're gonna have to control the time of possession.
Yeah. So they're going to have to completely dominate the game.
And then the next game, the nightcap on Sunday, got the Commanders going to Tampa. That's a good game, too. I like Baker Mayfield. I think all of these games are good. I think the fact that the Steelers have a 10-point spread is absolutely mind-boggling to me.
I hate that spread. I hate it.
The last 10 times the Steelers have played, besides for the past game that they played 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, every game has been decided within 4 points.
I mean, just based on the spread, I would bet Pittsburgh, even if I think the Ravens are going to win the game, just because that spread is just not indicative of any matchup those two teams have had, and in this kind of weather they're going to have on Saturday, come on, really?
Absolutely, and the fact that Lamar Jackson has only beaten the Steelers twice in his career.
I know. I'll say about the Tampa Bay game, that's going to be fun to watch.
Oh, I can't.
That's
gonna be, I know. I'm interested to see how Jaden Daniels looks.
Liam Cohen's offense against Cliff Kingsbury's offense, that's going to be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. It really is.
It's going to be a high-scoring game.
I'm surprised, though, that they got the primetime game.
You surprised?
I'm surprised I got the 8 o'clock game. I thought they were going to give it to Green Bay Philly. I really did.
To
me, that's more prime time than Commanders Buccaneers.
To be
honest, I'm very surprised that's not the game that's on Monday night.
Honestly, I'm surprised that's not the Amazon game, and the Pittsburgh game should have been the Sunday night game.
I hate that it's the Amazon game.
Sorry, Amazon.
I'm not sorry.
I told you this the other day when we were off air. Like I said, what's going to happen is you're going to have Steelers lining up for a field goal late, and then all of a sudden Amazon's going to freeze because it's going to be like that Netflix thing with the boxing match.
I do.
The Jake Paul Tyson fight just like freezes and just going to be spin, 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 spin.
God.
That's going to drive everybody crazy.
I'll have to have my phone on hand and I'll
and
have to load it up
spin,
on my phone.
Spin, spin.
if that happens, I think I'll have to sue Amazon.
There'll be a lot of people suing Amazon.
Giving me mental distress.
Oh my God. I can imagine what Twitter's going to be like if that happens.
Oh, forget about it. Especially if it's a good game. Oh my God.
Oh man. All right. So, quickly, before we do any picks, CJ, what do you think about this coaching carousel right now?
In the NFL?
Yeah.
I think I expected Mayo to get fired because I didn't think he was a great coach.
No.
I was a little surprised that Pierce got fired in Vegas. I'm surprised that Brian Daboll's still the coach.
I'm honestly not surprised he's still the coach because the Giants have been bouncing coaches every other year for like the last decade.
Well, I could tell you the Giants are not taking a quarterback.
Well, not unless the kid from Penn State comes out, Aller comes out, then they may think about it.
I'll say this: if the Giants will not have a rookie quarterback starting next season because Daboll and Joe Shane are still there, their quarterback is going to be Kirk Cousins.
I was going to say that.
That's who their quarterback is going to be. Okay, it's going to be Kirk Cousins because they have to win. They have to make the playoffs next year, otherwise both of those guys are gone, and they know that. So they're not going to be playing for no future. They're going to be putting a team together around keeping their job for the future rather than for the Giants, you know, because you could take a quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
They could take Sanders. Let's say he falls to him. They take Sanders. All you're doing is giving, you know, if you don't win, all you're doing is giving the next guy your replacement, Shador Sanders, as your quarterback.
Yeah, exactly.
You're never going to be able to see it through. If you win another 4-5, if you have another 4-5 win season, that's it. It's over. You're gone.
Yeah, I agree with you. They have to win next year. And that's why it reminds me of what happened when the Jets drafted Sam Darnold in 2018, and you knew that Todd Bowles and Mike Maccagnan were on the hot seat, that they drafted a quarterback anyway. They made a big deal moving up to get him. They got him. And then we all know what happened. The season it wasn't a great season. They went like 4-12 or whatever it was.
Huh.
And then everyone gets fired, and then you have Gase come in. And basically, Sam Darnold was then on that trajectory of having his career wasted by, you know, different coaches and different teams.
Yep.
And now he's finally, you know, in year 7, got his career back on track.
Yep, and he's going to stay there next year.
He should stay in Minnesota.
And if the Steelers get blown out, J.J. McCarthy, I always thought he was going to be the Giants coach because I thought that they were quarterback, because I thought that Daboll was going to wind up getting fired.
Yeah.
So the Giants were going to try and, you know, use that first pick that they have on, you know, a position player.
Right.
Okay, and then trade for McCarthy or trade that pick for McCarthy. I do think if the Steelers get blown out, he's going to be the Steelers quarterback next year.
Right.
J.J. McCarthy.
It could happen.
Because Steelers are never going to pick that high, right? So let's say the Steelers pick 26.
Yeah.
Right? I would trade the 26th pick for J.J. McCarthy. Give him a shot. I mean, I didn't like him coming out last year. I got to be honest. I thought he was a second, third-round quarterback. To me, he's like Kenny Pickett. He didn't throw the ball, you know, that much at Michigan. He was just part of a dominant team. So he was a very good game manager. The problem is, if Mike Tomlin stays and Arthur Smith stays, you have to let the kid throw. You cannot baby him.
No.
That's why the Steelers aren't good, because all they do is baby their quarterbacks. It really is nuts. But the Giants seem to let their guys throw the ball down the field. So if the Giants get J.J. McCarthy... You know, I don't think it's going to happen now because Dable and Shane are still there, but the Giants get J.J. McCarthy. We'll be able to see what J.J. is, especially with neighbors. It would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it would be fun. It would be interesting, but, you know, I mean, McCarthy was in college was never that, you know, quarterback to gun the ball down.
No, he was never that guy.
Down, you know, Mr. Checkdown himself. But we'll see. I mean, hey, look, he certainly had enough time sitting on the bench watching what was going on.
He did. And is Sam Darnold the guy that you technically really want to learn from? Maybe, because he went through so much. Look at what he went through. And he's only 27.
Yeah, and that's so. Yeah. I'll say this though, it's kind of funny because you mentioned how you were surprised by Brian Daboll not getting fired. Can you imagine? If he did get fired, that would be the guy. Steelers fans were saying, "Get Brian Daboll to be the OC of the Steelers," because that's what you would be.
Yeah, because he was a great offensive coordinator in Buffalo.
Yeah, absolutely,
he was
a perfect fit.
Absolutely, I would have taken him 100%. Some guys are better off as coordinators than they are, you know, head coaches.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Kingsbury. When you could focus in on one thing and you don't have to worry about galvanizing a team, which is why Tomlin's such a great head coach, because you know he's a leader of men, okay? But you have to put the right coordinators around him. He's not a very good game manager either.
Mm-hmm. Look at 75% of the people the Jets are interviewing. All of them are guys who should stay as coordinators and not be head coaches.
Yeah, well, that's why the Jets are a terrible organization.
Well, that goes without saying.
I mean,
I mean, when you have the owner's son like walking around in the clubhouse telling players off and like grabbing game balls and giving them out. Yeah,
and taking and not trading for Jerry Jeudy because because of his Madden rating.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know what was worse, Joe Shane not listening to his son when he told him to draft. Who was it? Who was the guy? I don't know why I'm drawing a blank. He said trade up. Trade up and take this guy. Who was it?
It was for, what's his face, in Washington.
Was it Daniels?
It was for Jane Daniels.
See, that's
Joe Shane's son is better at.
Exactly. Maybe they should hire him.
Yeah,
they could pay him millions of dollars to do the job. I'm sure he'll be all right. I mean, listen, if the Jets are using Madden ratings to decide, I'm sure the however old he is, he's probably 15. I'm sure he can figure it out.
He probably could.
Oh, man.
All right, we've got about like 5 minutes to go here.
That's what we got? All right. Yeah. Real quick, let's take a minute. Yankees, Mets, Luis Arraez, do you want him?
Do I want him right now? I would say probably not. I want to see how this Pete Alonso thing plays out. I mean, if Alonso is just going to continue to drag his feet, then I would consider it. I mean,
because he can play first.
He can play first. He can play third. I mean,
and second.
It's tempting. It's tempting. The Mets would have to.
I mean, he's a three-time batting champion.
I mean,
he hits .323. The guy has less than 200 career strikeouts in like 8 seasons. There are guys who have that total in half a season.
The Mets are going to have to give up a lot to get him.
I really don't think he's going to cost that much. I don't think he's going to cost that much.
Trade him in the same league to a team that you're.
Yes, that's that. Well, yes, the Mets would have to give up a lot more than the Yankees would have to give up, and I would sign up to give up whatever you want tomorrow. I would give him Everson Pereira, Marcus Stroman, and Chase, whoever they want.
From a Mets standpoint, you're probably looking at Luis Angel. You're probably looking at Acuna going on that deal. You know, he was the.
Listen, Arraez is only 27 though. It's not like he's some 32-year-old.
No.
So maybe trading Acuna. I mean, listen, you know you're getting a leadoff hitter that is going to get on base. You know he's going to get hits. If the bottom of your lineup can get on base and Arraez is leading off, he's going to knock him in.
You put Arraez at first base, you can keep potentially Vientos at third, which is probably where he plays better off anyway. It's tempting. I mean, even if you were ended up somehow by miracle getting Alonso back, if you're the Mets, you can, as you mentioned, Arraez playing at second.
Yeah, you can put Arraez at second. You know, your infield could look like Alonso, Arraez, Lindor, and Vientos.
Not bad.
That's a sick infield.
That is a sick infield.
Arraez can change the Mets' season outlook. Because right now, I don't think the Mets are better than they were last year.
No.
I really don't. Well, they're not better.
They haven't done anything other than get Juan Soto.
Exactly. The Mets are not better than they were last year. Let's just get that out of the way. Okay? They still need a starting pitcher. They still need a reliever, like a big-time reliever. And they still need to re-sign Alonso, and they need to add another bat.
Yeah.
So... I don't know.
I mean, the Yankees are fun. If they get Arraez, it's just adding
if
more
they get Arraez,
fire.
If they get Arraez, the Yankees are winning
the World Series.
The World Series.
Yeah.
I wrote an article yesterday about it on how I think the Yankees need Luis Arraez and how it can single-handedly change the entire landscape of
it's one of those moves. If the Yankees don't get him now, they can get him in July. If the Padres are, not going to be very good.
I already said this when it happened. Kyle Tucker will be a Yankee in July.
Think so?
Nothing's 100%, so I'll say 99%.
99.9%?
That's what I will say, because the Cubs, I don't think they're going to be as good as they think they're going to be. I think the NL is very, very hard, and I think they're going to know that they can't re-sign him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Yankees are going to be in the thick of things, and they might need an outfielder, depending on how Jason Dominguez, kind of shakes up. And I think the Yankees are going to be able to get him without giving up Luis Gil.
It could happen.
Absolutely.
It could happen. We'll see how this thing plays out. But, yeah, in Major League Baseball, the offseason really has slowed down to a snail's crawl pace. I mean, we're like less than a month.
And there's still a lot of guys. And there's still a lot of guys left out there.
This is happening every year now, where you have, a lot of big names just hanging
out. Going into March.
And
it's like, what is going on?
I don't know.
These guys, they're a creature of habit. They better sign. Because we saw what happened to Blake Snell. Blake Snell had a terrible start to the season after he signed late. And then he wound up picking it up late.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, if I were someone like Pete Alonso, I'd say to Scott Boras, can we just get something done?
Exactly. Pete Alonso, I'm taking a one-year deal. If I was the Yankees, I would give Pete Alonso a one-year, $30 million deal. Prove it to me. Prove it to me you're great still. Right? Then go get a new contract next year. That's what I would do.
Yeah, go out there, hit for a higher average, improve your war, improve your defense, and show that we still got something at 30.
Absolutely. I mean, 30's still young, so it's like, it's kind of crazy that, he can.
It's been crazy the last couple of years where his stats have been going downwards in a downward spiral, except for the postseason.
Which is crazy, though, because the numbers are still great. A down year for Pete Alonso is like a really good year for somebody else.
It is.
So it's kind of crazy.
We'll see how this thing plays out. So,
what, are we running out of time here?
We got like 2 minutes. We got a 2-minute warning.
2 minutes?
Yes.
All right. You know what? I know it's not Sunday anymore. Right. I it's not NFL Sunday.
Right.
But we can still give our picks.
Let's do it.
All right. So let's start with the first game on Saturday. Chargers Texans. Who you got?
I'm gonna go with the Chargers in this one. Like them. I mean, it's a tough call, but I'll take the Chargers on the road.
I'm going to roll with the home team.
Smart.
I'm going to roll with the home team only because I think if Houston, the Chargers have the best defense in football, apparently, but I don't know. I think Stroud finds a way to get it done. I think everyone's going to be, I think both the two underdogs on the two teams that everyone had written off on Saturday are going to wind up with the W. So.
All right. So I guess that means I know what your next pick's going to be.
I can't go against them. Like, I can't do it. As much as I know they're not going to win, I'm still rolling. I bleed, black and gold. So
all right, guess what? I'm going to agree with you. I think the Steelers are going to win. I think they're going to win straight up because they are due. You lose five in a row. I just can't see a Mike Tomlin team losing six in a row. It's a divisional game.
I agree. See, now I'm getting pumped.
You know who they are. You beat them like 8 weeks ago at home.
Now stop talking because you're getting my hopes up now. Please don't get me.
I mean, it's going to be a close game.
You're hyping me up now.
It's going to be snow. It's perfect for them. It's perfect. I could see them winning this
game. Mike, you're ruining my Saturday night because you're getting me pumped up. You're going to be pumped up for a game where I know they're going to get blown out 45 to 10.
That's not going to be 45.
It's like when you watch that. You were just talking. It's like when you watch those hype videos on YouTube. It's like, damn. Yeah. Oh, I guess.
Let's finish these picks.
Let's roll through it.
Yeah. Anyway, Buffalo and Denver. Go ahead.
Buffalo and Denver. I'm rolling with Buffalo, even though I think Denver keeps it close.
I'm going to roll with Buffalo. They're going to run right over Denver, I think.
All right.
Green Bay and Philadelphia.
Well, we talked about this earlier. Yeah. I'm going with Green Bay.
You're going to go. I will go with Philadelphia. I think Jalen will play, and Green Bay will be out.
Sunday night, prime time, Washington, Tampa. Who you got? Are you going with the rookie or are you going with Baker?
I'm
going
to say Baker throws a very late touchdown pass.
Yeah, I'm going to say Baker gets it done.
Yeah.
Baker's that guy.
Tampa Bay moves on.
Monday night?
Monday night football, somewhere in the West Coast.
West Coast. Hopefully everyone in LA, is all right. They know that's first things first. Send our condolences, to the people in LA, all the families in LA. It's a shame.
This whole story now throws a whole different intangible into this game, doesn't it?
Which is why I think the Rams may come away with this win. I really do.
It really does. It's like one of like play for LA kind of deal.
Absolutely. The Rams are going to win this game, and it's very unfortunate, but the Rams are going to win this game. It's unfortunate for Sam Darnold.
Yeah. I'll stick with the Vikings.
And I think the Rams stink. I got to be honest with you. That defense is atrocious. But I think because of what's going on in LA, I think the Rams find a way to galvanize the troops. And
I'll stick with the Vikings, but I could see where the Rams could win the game. Yeah.
All right.
We'll see.
All right, Mike. Well, thanks for joining me this week. It was another great episode. We'll be back next week. So
we'll be back.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next week. Keeling's Corner, out.